5 minutes past 8 o'clock. CCO temperature is 53. My goodness, that wind has picked up. South 23 gusting to 30. And now the Killebrew Erickson Show. I wanted to say that for a long time, Harmon.
All right.
Harmon Killebrew is with us here, sitting in for Charlie Boone on Boone and Erickson. And by golly, I wanted to do this.
You mean I'm actually sitting in for Charlie?
You're Charlie Boone, and I hope you brought the jokes with it.
Not too many jokes, but it's great to be here with you.
I heard you speak at Cooperstown, the acceptance speech there, when you were inducted into the Hall of Fame. And that was one of the most moving things I've ever heard.
Well, thank you very much. I guess that's the ultimate that could ever happen to a ball player, something that can only happen once in a lifetime, and I was privileged to be there and be included with such a special group of people.
Yeah, have you seen your name up there? Is it up there?
It's there, yeah.
It's there.
Was
it
Believe
there
it or not.
Was it there when we were there? Did they do it that day? I can't remember. I was standing there looking through all those names and through. It's really something to see. The stuff they have there, the old baseballs, gloves, Babe Ruth's locker.
The memorabilia is outstanding, and if those people listening to us have not had an opportunity to go to Cooperstown, they should take that opportunity sometime and just, it's going to take you a few days to go through it, but What a wonderful place that is.
They have a section there just on the evolution of the baseball glove. And it started with fairly protection for the center of your hand, as I recall.
Some of those gloves look like motorman's gloves.
Yeah. Right. Then they got a little bigger and a little bigger. And now, of course, they're a big...
You can't understand how a player could even miss a ball. Huh?
Say, meet Howie Viken here, Harmon. Put on those earphones here.
Hello, Howie.
Hi there, Harmon. It's good to see some shiny heads around here.
It's always good to see you.
I'm so outnumbered.
Well, Harmon, at what age did you start that? Now, as I recall, Harmon always wore
start
his cap.
Start what, Roger?
the shiny heads.
Oh, yeah. At a very early age, around 19, I started losing my
hair. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
How about you, Howie?
About the same time, 20, right on 19 or 20.
Yeah.
Harmon, if some guys want to waste their hormones on here, what the heck? You know.
Yeah, that's right.
What is it, God only made a few perfect heads?
Well, and the rest he covered with hair.
That's right.
Right.
It is 9 minutes past 8 o'clock on the Killebrew Erickson Show. Harmon Killebrew is sitting in for Charlie Boone this morning.
Where is Charlie?
Charlie is in China. He's leading a WCCO Good Neighbor Tour there. Mm-hmm. And I think today, what's today? Tuesday. I think they're still in China, and then they go to Hong Kong the end of the week.
Today is tomorrow over there, I guess.
Yeah, right. You been around the world much?
I've been a few places. I've never been to China. I'd like to try that sometime. But I've been in the Far East, in Japan, and Vietnam, and some of those places.
A lot of Americans playing baseball in Japan now.
Yes, there is. We have a AAA manager with the Twins, Charlie Manuel,
mm-hmm.
who played several years in Japan and did quite well over there.
Yeah. This is the 25th anniversary of the Minnesota Twins, and I know you've been involved. I've seen that film. The film is unbelievable. It's beautiful. And explain what the kind of concept of the film is.
Well, I think the main theme, Charlie, was kind of reminiscing, going back over the years and talking about some of the history of the 25 years we've been here in Minnesota. Bob Allison and Tony Oliva certainly were big parts of that ball club, and they play a part in the film. And the president ball players, Tom Brunansky, Kent Herbeck, and Kirby Puckett are also in the film. And we had a lot of fun making it.
So it's the old and the new.
That's right.
And a lot of good film clips. It's really great. Now, you also have a book. The Twins have a book, I should say.
Yeah, there is a book. I have not seen the finished product yet, and I understand that today it is supposed to be finished,
mm-hmm.
Written by Dave Mona and Dave Jarzina. 25 years of Twins history, and they have, I think there have been 314 Twins where Minnesota Twins uniform. And they have all the stats of all the players. And I'm looking forward to seeing the finished product because it'll be exciting. I understand that they have some great pictures in there.
Mm-hmm.
And it should be interesting for all Twins lovers.
You mentioned Tony Oliva. If he didn't have those bad legs, how great could he have been?
Well, Tony may have been one of the best hitters I've ever seen in baseball. A Rod Carew-type hitter with power.
Yeah.
Tony, of course, had the bad legs and was unfortunate because he could have played a lot longer, and the records that he would have racked up would have been just unbelievable.
Yeah, he could hit for average, hit for power, and he was a good fielder.
Tony was an excellent all-around ball player, yeah.
Who are some of the characters you met over the years?
Gee, Roger,
putting
you
on the spot. How about other than, so that you won't get into trouble with the Twins, how about other than the Twins?
Oh, I guess when we were in Washington, before we moved to Minnesota, we played with a lot of characters. One in particular that I remember over the years, Clint Courtney. I think you could write a book about Scrappy. They call him Scrap Iron, and he got into one of the most unusual slumps I've ever seen a ball player get into. He could not throw the ball back to the pitcher. And you've heard of fielding slumps and hitting slumps, but as a catcher, if you can't throw the ball back to the pitcher, you got problems. And Scrappy used to go out to the ballpark early, and he'd have a boy on the mound, and he'd try to throw it back to him. He'd bounce it in front of the mound and throw it over his head, and finally he got out of it. But that was an unusual thing.
Is that a psychological thing?
It had to be, yeah. Because there wasn't anything wrong with him physically.
A ball player can throw a ball back and forth.
Yeah. Well, he couldn't.
Well, one of our catchers that we're talking about, his inability to get the ball back last year, I think.
Mm-hmm.
That really can happen.
Yeah, it really can. And there's so many kinds of slumps that you can get into as a ball player. But that was the most unusual I've ever seen.
But the psychology, a guy's really got to have his head together.
That's right.
Here you are, maybe with you're behind by one run, bases loaded, two outs, and you're up to bat, and you strike out, and there's 50,000 going, ah. I mean, is that tough to handle? It's got to be.
Well, I think it's easier with more people in the stands, right, believe it or not. If you got 50,000 people in the stands, you don't hear all those cat calls that you do if there's only 2,500 people out there, because you can hear every one of them. But when we've got a full house, you just don't pick out the noises as much.
And yet, the fact is that you're a superstar if you hit 300, so there would be one out of four chance that you're going to do it in that situation.
That's right. The good players only get 3 out of 10 hits, and then the rest of us, we've had problems.
when you hit those home runs, could you tell it was a home run when you hit it?
Most of the time I knew when I hit the ball whether it was going to go out of the ballpark. At the old ballpark here at Metropolitan Stadium, the wind was a big factor.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times in the spring and fall, the wind would blow in, and sometimes you couldn't tell for sure. It's embarrassing if you hit the ball and don't run it out.
Because you would look at the flight of the ball, as I recall, many times. You had to be sure it's going to go over the fence. Did that ever happen to you?
No, unfortunately, it didn't. It didn't happen to me. Reggie Jackson's kind of taken that and expanded a little bit now, and he really puts on quite a show and stands at home plate a lot.
Well, it must be fun to look and follow. That's what everybody else is doing. They're following the flight of the ball.
Well, yeah. It's just, I guess, like an artist that paints a nice painting. You want to watch it a little bit.
And after all, there's not too much of a chance if somebody's going to field it out there. It hits the fence or something. There's not too much of a chance you might make it to second. You know that you can run to first if it doesn't work out.
They asked me about hitting the ball out of the ballpark, and I said, you know, I really had to because I couldn't run.
It is 22 minutes past 8 o'clock on the Killebrew Erickson Show. 53 degrees, kind of windy. Wind southerly 23, gusting to 30. Earlier this morning, the wind was light, and it was temperature in the high 40s. It was unbelievable. We mentioned about playing outside today. What do you think? Can I ask you how you feel about the dome?
Oh, sure. I was like a lot of people, Roger. I think I had mixed emotions about the dome, and of course, I always thought baseball was supposed to be played outside with the grass and the dirt. But all you have to do is take a trip or two with the Twins, particularly early in the year and late in the season, and you grow to love the dome. It's great.
I think it's a little tough coming into spring. We haven't been outside enough, and you want to be outside with everything you do. But past that, getting into summer again, it's sometimes kind of nice to get in there and get air conditioning.
Well, that's right. 70 degrees all the time is kind of neat.
Say, you of course, power hitter, and you hit all those home runs. How important is a power hitter to a club?
Well, of course, power drives in runs, and runs win ball games, so I guess it's important.
But if you don't have it in the lineup, the opposing pitcher can kind of just coast along, can't
he? No, not if you got some good hitters.
Yeah, but I mean, if you don't have, if you have only singles hitters, I mean, he has the luxury of allowing a single and maybe another one, get two guys on base.
Yeah.
But if a power hitter comes up every now and again,
course,
he's got to bear down, he's got to...
Of course, you can pitch around certain hitters at times, too.
So you need more than one power hitter.
I felt lucky to play on the ball clubs I played on, Roger, because we had a lot of good hitters. Hitting in front of and behind Tony Oliva was kind of nice.
Yeah.
We used to alternate against right and left-hand pitching, and against left-handers, Tony sometimes would hit behind me, and this would help because he'd give me some better pitches to hit. And then to have guys like Tovar and Carew hitting in front of you, there was always somebody on base, and that was neat, too.
Then following Allison.
Yeah, and Bob and Earl Batty and Don Mincher and Rich Rollins and Zoilo. We had some pretty good hitters in those days.
Now, it appears that manager Miller wants to emphasize defense. That's one of the reasons they traded Tuffel, as I understand. He was a good offensive player but couldn't make the double play the way they wanted. And they maybe... I have a feeling you don't want to get into this.
No,
I
think Ray's doing an outstanding job. And certainly he has had one of the better organized spring training camps that I've ever seen.
You have been down there this year?
Yes, uh-huh. And I'm going back down again at the end of this week. And I think the Twins look good.
Let me ask you this, then. How important is the double play?
Well, that's the pitcher's best friend, of course, a double play. And if you can make the double play, you can get out of a lot of jams and some real problems. And the Twins, I think, look a little bit better in that department this spring.
Who was I reading? Was it Doug Groh or somebody about Tinkers to Evers to Chance, the famous double play combination?
Yeah, what did they make, about 9 or something like that?
Mm-hmm. In 4 years, they made, 54 double plays?
Not many. Not many in those days. They just couldn't make the double play. Now,
didn't have the gloves and all that sort of thing, I suppose. And so anyway, give us.
Well, I think defense is certainly important. If you can't catch the ball and get the other ball club out, you got some real problems. But I think Ray's right. I mean, you have to stress defense. Yes.
So we've got Lombardozzi,
and Patero. Chris Patero.
Well, those Italians now, huh?
Greg Gagne at shortstop. And they're doing a good job this spring. I think they're young, and with the experience that they got last year, certainly they're going to be better.
And Gaetti's a good third baseman, and Herbeck's a terrific first baseman.
That's right. So you got a good defensive infield. And when you look at Puckett in center field and Brunansky in right field, and we don't know exactly what's going to happen in left field right now, but... the Twins are a good defensive ball club.
Billy Bean, did you see him down there?
Yes.
The one we traded for?
Yeah, Billy is a good-looking young player, and we expect some big things from him.
He hasn't been hitting too well, as I understand. He's been injured, is that right?
Yeah, and it's hard to tell in the spring, too. A player might hit 800 in the spring, and then when the season starts, the bell rings, they say he can't hit. But it can happen the other way, too. A player will have a terrible spring and not get any hits, and as soon as the season starts, he might set the world on fire. So it's very difficult, I think, to tell exactly or to make a judgment of a player in spring training.
Pitching looks good, especially the first three.
Yeah. Pitching is certainly the biggest part of the game. And it's going to be great to have Bert Blyleven with the ball club all year. And last year, of course, we got him in midstream, and Bert is just an outstanding pitcher, as well as being a great guy to have on the ball club, and, of course, Viola. I mean, you got those two guys back-to-back, you got a good 1-2 punch.
And some of the players now that came here 3-4 years ago, the bunch that kind of came together, they really have the experience. Was it 2 years ago when we were in the race? until the end, until the final series with Cleveland.
Yeah, 1984. And last year, I think maybe we expected too much from the ball club, and things didn't go as well as we'd hoped, kind of up and down all year. And this year, maybe maybe it can all come together.
Do you think that collapse in that Cleveland series a couple of years ago was due to inexperience?
No, I don't think that.
Just happened.
It just happened, and that's what makes baseball such a great game, I guess. You can't predict it.
Harmon Killebrew on the Boone Erickson Show. It's 28 past 8. The temperature, 53 and windy. It is 22 minutes before 9 o'clock. CCO temperature is 53 degrees. Wind south 23, gusting to 30. All kinds of people wanting to talk to Harmon Killebrew. But we only have a limited amount of time here as you sit in for Charlie Boone, Harmon. Some of the more intriguing questions. One guy said, why didn't Baltimore give you a good pitch to hit in 1969 so you could have got that 50th home run?
Oh, that, I think that was my good friend Jerry Hansen called in.
It was.
I probably had a lot of good pitches hit. I just didn't hit them. That's all. He's talking about hitting 50 home runs. And
so 49's not bad. You realize I could get you an $8 million contract today.
I remember one year I led the league in RBIs, and the next year, that particular year, I only hit 26 home runs, and Calvin said maybe I should take a cut.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Today, 26 is something else.
Yeah.
Say, when you were down in spring training, when you were a player, I suppose it looked like, when we've been down, it looks like a lot of fun for veterans. The sun is out. And
Roger, no.
You're loose.
No
it
way.
Isn't for veterans?
No.
I,
no
I could, I could say rookies, you know, rookies, my oh. God, it's sweat time, but...
I always hated it. It's a tough time, particularly when you get older. It gets tougher to get yourself ready for the season. And I liked it when the season started, not that spring training stuff.
You know, in 1965, I guess everybody, and we're talking about the book, and it's highlighted there, that was the World Series. But there were so many other good years with the Twins that I think many of us forget about. Now, there was the... Division championships?
Yeah, we had two division championships in 1969, 1970.
1967 went down to the last day?
That was one of the biggest disappointments, I think, in Twins history was in 1967. We went into Boston with a one-game lead, two games to play. We lost the two final games of the season, and, of course, the Red Sox went on to play in the World Series. And a lot of sad guys coming back to Minnesota, I'll tell you.
Was that the time that Cott had the game kind of wrapped
yes.
up?
Yes. Jim was pitching that ball game and hurt his elbow. We were leading in the ball game,
and he was on.
He was pitching very, very well, and had to leave the game. And Red Sox won the game, and then went down to the final day of the season. Dean Chance pitched that ball game, and we were leading in that game, and lost it. And of course, Red Sox played the Cardinals in the World Series that year.
Then we've had some good years even since 1970.
Yeah, there
a couple of years ago, wasn't it, in 79?
That's right. 70. And, of course, you mentioned 2 years ago, 1984, the Twins went right down to the wire and finished three games out of first place. So, other than the championship year, we won the pennant in 1965. There have been some great years in Twins history.
Now, speaking of 69, that was the year that Billy Martin was manager and he had all you guys running. Even you were stealing bases.
What do you mean, even? Well, I was on the back end of some double steals.
Yeah, double steals. I saw you on double steals.
That's right.
Rod Cruz stole home how many times?
Seven, I think, that year. Rod, in fact, twice when I was up to home plate. And the one time I didn't know he was coming. And fortunately, I got out of the way, and the ball was inside, and he was safe at home. But I just hate to think of what would have happened if I'd have swung at the ball and he was coming in there and I didn't
know
it.
He's right on top of
you. Yeah. Uh-huh. Rod was, I tell you, Rod Carew, Antonio Oliva, and Cesar Tovar, those were great years, particularly for me to hit behind those guys.
Now, it's all in this book being put out by the Twins, and we have just some of the sheets here, but it's coming out as we understand it today. Now, did you find out where that's going to be?
It'll be in all the B. Dalton bookstores, and it's called 25 Seasons, First Quarter Century of the Minnesota Twins, written by Dave Mona and Dave Jarzina. And at... It's got stats of all the former players. Did you remember some of these guys, Garibrandt Ryerson Allier. You remember him, of course.
Allier, yes, yeah, I do, yeah. But barely.
Yeah. Bud Bowling?
Bowling, no.
Bowling, catcher.
Bowling?
Bowling, B-U-L-L-I-N-G, Bud Bowling.
Well, it must not have been here too long.
Do you remember that Joe Altobelli played with the Twins?
He did?
Yeah. Joe was with our ball club for a while, and 1961, he was a first baseman.
Joe Altobelli.
Yeah. But
who was on first base that first game in New York?
That's a good question. I'm not sure.
Let's see. It was Billy Gardner on second, right?
Yeah.
It was Zoilo Versailles at short.
No.
No? No. Reno Bortoia was at third.
In that first ball game? I don't know. I was in
there
somewhere.
Well, I tell you, here's the guy who wrote the book. Hey, sit down at that microphone right there. Put on the earphones. Put on the earphones. Now punch the red. He's in the other room there. Punch the red. Okay, you're on. You're on.
Right now?
That's yeah. Dave Jarzina.
Dave? One of the authors of the book.
One of the authors with Dave Mona, right?
Dave Mona and you wrote the book.
Do you know who was in the starting lineup, Dave, that first game?
Sure I do.
Who was it?
Okay. We had you and Bob Allison.
And Lenny Green.
And Lenny Green in the outfield.
Okay, wait a minute now.
I guess Batty was the catcher.
Batty was a catcher. Bertoia was at third. Versailles was at short. Gardner was second. And no, Harmon, you were at first.
In that first ball game?
Right.
I don't know.
Harmon!
I do remember when we came home and played the first ball game out here at Metropolitan Stadium, I was injured and did not play in that first ball game out here, no.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I always remember that year, or the early years of the Twins, because there were so many players with double L's in their name. There was Killebrew, Allison, Rollins, who else? If not L's, double letters. Green,
Batty.
Tuttle, Batty, Klipstein, Cott. You could field a whole team of nothing but double letters, and half the team will be double L's. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, that's
interesting. I see you find that fascinating. It is 14 minutes now before 9 o'clock. CCO temperature is 53. What did you say, Chuck?
We were in Harmon's town on a trip in
Boise
Idaho.
Boise or Payette?
No, neither one. Why can't I think of the name?
Payette, you were born and raised in Payette.
Yeah, I'm not sure where he's...
Where do you live now?
In Oregon, actually.
You're in Oregon.
Yeah, across the river, the Snake River. Ontario.
Ontario, right. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's where we were there. Yeah, we were there. There's a guy who runs a T-shirt shop there, and his wife works for the tourist bureau.
Is all Idaho beautiful?
Well, I think it is, but
Oregon is too, of course.
Well, there's some desert area, and some people don't think that's too pretty, but it has a certain beauty about it.
I was gonna call up. That was when you were. I think you were working back here. But I was going to call up and say hello, say we'd stop by.
Well, yeah.
This guy has an unlisted phone number in Ontario, Oregon.
Well, with you coming through, can you blame him?
Well, that's true, yeah.
That's the idea.
That's
the
why
unlisted?
It's unlisted, yeah. People like me coming through there.
Say, what did your parents do? What did in Idaho? In Payette?
My father was a painter.
Huh.
In Idaho. And actually, they came from Illinois, and they were farmers.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's how they happened to go out to Idaho.
Outstanding high school athlete ever in Payette.
Oh.
Yeah, that's what it says.
Did it?
Yeah. You didn't know that either. And you were going to go to college as a football and baseball player.
Yeah, I did.
What college?
University of Oregon. I was going to play football and baseball there.
But baseball scouts stopped you and brought you in. Did you go to college?
Well, I did after I signed Roger, but Ossie Bluegee, who was the farm director of the ball club, came out to see me in Idaho, and I decided baseball's what I wanted to do, and so I signed with the old Washington Ball Club, went directly to the big leagues for a couple of years. I was only 17, and you can imagine I had hardly been out of the state of Idaho, and what an experience that was for a young guy.
What did you play in football?
I was a quarterback.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, what did you play, Chuck?
Well, hooky a lot.
What do you have here today?
I was tiny. I didn't weigh.
You were? Yeah. You were tiny?
I weighed about.
Can you imagine him tiny?
I weighed about 85 pounds when I was in high school.
No kidding.
Yeah, I didn't grow till I was 17.
Yeah?
And I didn't get fat till I was about 25.
Yeah, right.
I'm still growing. I'm growing right through the top of my hair.
It is 10 minutes before 9 on the Boone and Erickson Show. Harmon Killebrew sitting in for Charlie this morning. So when you aren't broadcasting baseball games, you're doing what?
Living in Oregon, and we have a car dealership out there, and also we are in the insurance business in Boise.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we kind of keep busy.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. I've got to ask you what, you know, the old corny question, your greatest thrill with the Twins?
You know, that's a difficult thing to answer, and I've been asked that question many times.
How about a
times.
Series of thrills? Yeah.
Well, I think it's every ball player's dream to play in the World Series. It was mine, Roger. And that year in 1965, the 2nd of August, I was playing first base, and I dislocated my elbow in a play. Rich Rollins fielded a ball at third, threw it down the line, and Russ Snyder, the Orioles, ran into me, and I completely dislocated my elbow. And it looked like after all those years, we were going to get in the World Series, and I wasn't going to get a chance to play. But fortunately, at least for me, I played the last 10 games of the season at third base and then played in the World Series at third base. I guess playing in the World Series, it's difficult to describe that one, but that's, I think, just one of the greatest thrills that you could ever have as a ball player. Playing in All-Star games, too, are exciting, and I had that opportunity to play in several All-Star games. And one that I'll remember, of course, playing in front of the hometown folks here in 1965, the year that we won the pennant, was a big thrill, and they hit a home run in that ball game. When we were in Washington, a lot of thrills, because we played in front of presidents, vice presidents, a lot of congressmen and members of the cabinet used to come out to Old Griffith Stadium. That was a big thrill. But to me, I really enjoyed, I know it sounds corny, but I just enjoyed playing baseball and putting on a uniform and going on the field. And I guess I was kind of different because I enjoyed playing doubleheaders.
Oh, really?
A lot of the ballplayers, you hear them say, you complain about playing doubleheaders, and you don't play as many as we used to play, but I enjoyed that. Gee, you got that opportunity to play two games in one day, that was great.
You know, we forget how difficult playing baseball is at that level. I'm Bo Jackson is trying to choose between baseball and football, and I understand that this year, his senior year, he's hitting about 200. And so now maybe he's going to be thinking more about football, but here is a guy who is a super athlete, natural athlete in all respects, and he's hitting 200 in college.
When you play every day, you're a regular player, and you play about 30 games in spring training and then 162 during the season. If you're fortunate enough to play in the playoffs and possibly the World Series, you can play in about 200 ball games in a year, and you do have to be in pretty good condition to be able to do that and to perform daily. And I think the trick for most ball players is, you can have one good year. But to perform year after year and have good years, that's a difficult thing to do.
There's also that thing about baseball. You're on stage in every game. And in football, you can be playing on the line. You can be lost. Somebody makes a mistake, or you can make a mistake, and no one realizes.
Well, you brought up an interesting thing there, Roger, because I always felt in this particular area, we've got the five-state area here, Minnesota certainly, and part of Wisconsin, and you got North and South Dakota and Iowa. People would come to the ballpark, and to me, it was every ball game was kind of like an opening day because people would come in from miles away, and maybe they would never see a ball game again. But I had the feeling that, you wanted to do your best, and I'm sure the players feel the same way now that these people come in from some farm community, and they're seeing Major League Baseball for the first time, and it's a big thrill for them, and you want to do the best you possibly can.
But every player has his chance at fielding the ball and his chance at muffing it. Every player has his moment up there at bat.
Yeah.
So you're always on stage. I mean, if a quarterback tries to throw the bomb and it doesn't work out, you'll say, boo. You know, If he does it a lot, maybe, but it just didn't work.
Baseball's interesting because it's certainly a team sport, but it's an individual thing. I mean, every
ball
player.
That's what makes it so great.
Yeah, and you're on your own out there in front of, you mentioned, 50,000 people. And, you know, if you strike out or boot a ball, and, you know, everybody sees it, and it's going to be in the paper the next day with a big error in the headlines.
Over the years, how knowledgeable do you think most sports fans are about baseball?
Oh, it's surprising. I think baseball fans are the greatest because they watch everything. You can't put anything by a baseball fan. They follow the game and they know what's going on.
The intriguing part of about baseball is that you can understand it on any level. You can, as basic as 1, 2, 3, you're out, and you hit a home run, or really getting into the real
intricacies of the game, and it is a very complicated game. It's simple, but yet it's very complicated. And if you watch a baseball game, and I hear so many people say they like the action in football. I like football. I enjoy watching football games. But if you really watch baseball and you know what's going on out there, there are so many things going on all the time. The players moving, the pitcher and the hitter, that's where the real game is. And you can really, if you get into the game and know what the real inside things are that are going on in a ball game, it's interesting.
Have you ever seen a manager really call something dumb and all the players said, "That's really dumb"?
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen that happen. And then I've seen some managers make some brilliant moves, too. Come in and bring take a good player out of the ballgame, bring somebody else in, he makes a great play or hits the ball out of the ballpark and wins the game, and say, boy, he's really brilliant to do that.
Well, who's the most important man in an organization?
Gee.
Or I shouldn't say man, a person in an organization that makes for a sound ball club, the right decisions mostly concerning players and so on? Who is that person?
Well, I don't think it's one person. I think I think Howard Fox right now has done a good job putting this ball club together as the president of the Minnesota Twins. Andy McPhail now, director of personnel for the Twins. And certainly you have to say the farm department. And, of course, George Brophy was out there and Jim Rantz now. And so important to have a good farm system and bring – it's difficult. You know, you talk about trading players and getting them from other organizations. But most of the good ball clubs, they grow their own talent.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's important.
Harmon, this has been fantastic.
Well, the time's gone by, Roger. It's always great to see you. And, you know, we talk about the Twins 25 years. I've been listening to you and Charlie and Chuck and Howard and all the guys here for years and years. And, of course, WCCO is a great station, and it's a pleasure, believe me, for me to be here this morning with you.